Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to another Radio Fishing. We're just here, sitting here discussing because I've got one of these electric vapor smoke things, and I've lit it twice. I'm sitting here looking at the melted end of this thing going, is this really what I'm going to do? Oh, my God. But it still works. I'll give it credit. I lit it twice.
Well, at least it's well built.
Yeah. Good God. What an idiot I am. I got to tell you.
Anyway. This is what happens when you burn a lot of brain cells at New Year's Eve parties.
Yeah. I destroyed a few extra brain cells. You know, but, you know, you would think I made it through the 70s. I should have, you know.
Well, that's probably the problem, is you've burned your share of brain cells back then.
That's what it was. Now
you're working on the ones you really need.
Yeah, that could be it. I was thinking, like, they should be tough. You know, like, these are the tough brain cells. No. They survived those, couple of decades.
We only use 10 to 12% of our brain, so the other 90 or 88% of the brain cells are lazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, they shot radiation there,
not
killed a bunch
whole
of them a while
lot of
back.
Stamina.
So, anyway, I guess we are going to. Okay, we've been talking about fishing and all that kind of stuff. So, I guess that's what, you know, radio fishing.
How
oh my God,
that?
We should talk about some fishing.
It seems to be a trend.
Good God. Okay, well, so what are we going to talk about, Kale?
Well,
oh, by the way, Captain Kale with me today. I'm sure you recognize the voice by now, but hey, as a good announcer, I should show it up. You know, tell the audience who's here, and you know, yes, audience, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, Kale. All right.
Now
we're
I
back.
Feel better.
Yeah, we're back on the
I
show.
I feel welcome now.
Yes.
So what's up? I think we got a couple things that we should probably talk about today. Fishing resolutions for the new year. I don't make personal New Year's resolutions because we all know that we don't pay any attention to them.
Well,
by February, they're gone.
Mine is to cut back on my nicotine intake, reduce some of the
cream
in my sugar.
You're doing very well at it by lighting fake cigarettes.
Yes,
so.
I know. The plastic has got to be better for it. Yeah, right. But, no, I got 10 more pounds to lose. I finally hit 185 again. I got 175. So
yeah.
I'm going to get that, try and get my weight down so I got some breath.
I don't make personal ones, so my fishing resolution this year is to get at least 300 shark to the boat this year. Trying to get on to a tagging program. I think that would be beneficial to the sharks, the ecology, and to even my clients. They'll hopefully be able to tag and name these sharks on their own and hopefully follow them online.
Yeah, well, that would be actually very cool. So basically, you're looking to your personal fishing goal. This isn't a resolution. This is a goal.
This is the
goal for 14.
See,
is to
the problem,
get in a major tagging.
The problem with
300
a goal,
sharks to the boat.
The problem with a goal is that it's just a goal.
Right.
And you've already got excuses if you don't make your goal. But so we're going to try and make it a resolution and get serious about it. So
this is the resolution of the resolved goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, what we're doing, talking about goals and stuff, my goal is to get out fishing with my old man. You know, that's my big goal for this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great goal.
2013 was a nightmare. It was just every single thing, you know, all this stuff went wrong, everything, you know.
Yeah.
And
what did you do? You got out there two or three times this past year?
Yeah, so this year, at least, I'm going to try for every couple of weeks, at least once a month, fishing with my dad, and that's my goal for this year, fishing-wise, is to get out with my dad, get the wife out a few times, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I've already got a couple of, you know, I do those big, long day with the fishing and the sightseeing and the shelling and the restaurants and all that. It's like an 85-mile trip. And
it's not fun.
Oh, it's fun. That's the whole idea. That's the reason I do it, is it's a lot of fun. And I've got about three of those to do this year. And but it's cool. But, you know, I've got the boat for it. And, I got the time, the experience.
As long as you enjoy it, that's all that matters. To me, I don't like making those trips out to the islands to have lunch and stuff like that because you pass 30,000 places to fish on the way.
No,
back.
I go
and that
out.
That bothers me.
I stop. I catch some fish. We go to the next spot. I catch some fish.
Well, if you're fishing your way down there, great.
Yeah.
Great.
No, I just take fish my way out there. And then, you know, especially people don't get a chance to get on some of these beaches where, you know, the shelling's pretty good. They want to walk along the beach and pick up some shells and look around. And, And it's pretty cool for them. And then I take them around. We get done shelling. They want to get a little cleaned up after being in and out of the water.
Sure.
Take them to the restaurant. They can wash up a little bit, get a meal. And then we head back for more fishing. And I stop between all the islands and, you know, work my way back fishing.
And they get to see a lot of cool things down there.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, it's one of my favorite ways to go. And whenever family in or if I owe you a big favor, this is pretty much what you get is one of these unbelievable days. So I keep reaching for the lighter. Oh, my God, this is killing me.
We'll see how this year pans out. I think it's going to follow a lot of the same patterns that it did last year. We're looking at the same winter that we had last year where it didn't really get cold enough. But we're seeing these little minor fronts roll through every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. And we're going to have Mallory on just a little while. She's going to be talking. They were catching tarpon last night on the beach.
Tarpon and shark at Boca Grande.
They're catching tarpon and sharks. It's
December and January.
Yeah, it's January 2nd, and there's tarpon and sharks there. This is going to be a really early tarpon season. They're going to be really messed up this year.
Very.
They are not going to know what to do.
The tarpon guys took a big hit last year. It was a tough season for the tarpon guys last year.
And that's their own fault, most of them.
And I think it's going to be the same this year, which is fine with me because the fewer tarpon trips I run, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I'd much rather be out there catching 20-25 shark a day.
Yeah, I like doing the, well, mixing up. I get them, I don't. But we can say that. We've caught all these tarpon and done that. But I always have to keep reminding myself when the person comes down and it's their dream, it's their goal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's when I always want to remind myself that because I've done it 1,000 times, I still kind of remember that first night. It was me and Carlos, Boston Whaler. It's pitch black. I hooked this fish, and this monster is flying all over the place. It's jumping, and all of a sudden, going around the boat, and coming back, and we finally get it up by the boat, and, you know, two dummies, we don't know, have any clue.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even working at the store yet, and I pull this thing up into the boat, and here's this, it's 6 foot, 7 foot long, and we're going to get pictures, and we're going back and forth, and we're falling out, and all of a sudden, I go to hold this thing up. Boom, down on my butt I go. My feet go right out from under me. The tarpon lands on me. The tarpon starts flopping around the boat. He's trying to jump on it. I'm trying to get out from underneath it without, you know, I mean, these things, you got 140, 180 pound fish bouncing around on top of you.
Yep.
That hurts.
And it's just shy of a religious experience for your first one. I mean, you were from Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin,
area.
Yeah.
I was from Pennsylvania. I mean, what's our idea of a fish of a lifetime?
30 pound muskie.
Yeah, 15 to 20 pound walleye if you happen to luck into one of those in a 40, lifetime.
I guess maybe a 30 or 40 pound muskie,
big
or something.
Big pike, big muskie, maybe big salmon if you hit the Great Lakes, but none of those. I mean, this is a fish that eats those.
And it's bigger than, it was bigger than me.
You.
I mean, I'm only, you know, I think at the time I was like 5'10", but with broken backs and stuff, I've shrunk. But, I mean, what a monster fish. I mean, it's got me pinned to the bottom of the boat. It's bouncing around, flopping. I'm trying to cover my face and get out. My buddy's trying to pull it off me. We finally get the fish off. We go to get it up and going to take a picture. You can't stand up in the boat. A tarpon, for all practical purposes, a big ladyfish.
Yeah.
And what does a ladyfish do when you grab it and pull it up in the boat?
It shits all over the place.
It poops all over, exactly. You've got tarpon poop from what? We must have had a half inch of tarpon poop,
slime,
scales. It was everywhere. Yep. We couldn't stand up. We looked like, you know, the Two Stooges trying to get it up and back over the rail and get it out of the boat. We catch and release wasn't even heard of back then.
Sure.
And, you know, it was when, like, you know, people go out and catch a 5 gallon bucket full of fish. They just never thought about releasing any.
Right.
And it was just kind of becoming thing in the bass world, but it still really hadn't caught popularity. I mean, we're just lifting up trying to get it, and the thing hit the water, smacked his tail, water flying all over. Never got a picture. Never got anything. We were just, you know, happy, excited, thinking, yeah, we're glad to be alive, and I just caught this fish, and I didn't get a darn picture. What a nightmare, but it was wonderful.
You know, I didn't have a picture. I mean, the first time I ever caught a big saltwater fish was out in California, and it was about a 6 foot mako.
Nice fish.
It was the first big fish that I caught in saltwater. It was my first shark, and it was no different than that tarpon. You know, you got something big on. You know, you're reeling up the plug on the bottom.
I'm just glad for you. You didn't have to wrestle it in the boat the way I did.
But that first look at that blob of color in the water when it first starts to come up, when you're used to seeing 14 and 15 inch walleye and 7 to 12 inch trout and 40 pound salmon, there isn't words for it. You sit there dumbfounded, your brain shifts into neutral, and it's, like I said, it's just shy of a religious experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, a come to Jesus moment right there.
It really is.
Because I think for you, you had time to look at it. Me, I was stupid. I tried to grab it and bring it in the boat. He wanted to eat it, and I'm looking at it going, I have no idea what the fish is.
I did that with my first tarpon.
I did not know what a tarpon was. I was that green down here. So I'm thinking, this is the biggest trout I've ever seen in my life. This is a monster trout of all time. And it's dark. So until we actually got it up where the stern light, we could kind of get it and all this silver and everything.
Yeah.
And
the first one that I caught, about 100, 120 pounds, caught it upriver. If I hadn't known what was so special about tarpon before I caught it, I'd have never gone after another tarpon in my life. It fought for about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It never jumped. It pulled a little bit of drag. Came to the boat belly up. We grabbed it, set it on my lap on the deck, and I held it. Didn't budge. Looked like it got hit by a bus. It was missing about 30 scales. It was nasty and brown. It was missing an eye. Half dead.
I'm sorry. I'm glad I had my experience.
And I put this thing back in the water.
I'm going to say only you, Cale.
And it lazily swam off. You finally catch
a tarpon. Yeah. You come out, you catch a tarpon. Here it is. Been probably beat up by sharks or dolphins.
It looked like it was homeless.
You caught the world's first homeless, orphaned, derelict. He's got his whiskey stash up against the mangroves. He's been sucking the salt off mangrove leaves.
And it I put it back in the water, and it just kind of slowly swam away like nothing had ever happened.
I kind of felt
robbed.
Really? Yeah, that's about the best way to experience it.
And what really ticked me off is my dad had caught one just before this, and it was well over 200 pounds.
Right.
And he fought it. And this was up at Liverpool.
Yeah.
And he fought it for, I think it was an hour and 45 minutes.
Right.
A lot of jumps. It made a lot of trips around the crab traps and those manatee signs up there on the bend and back down into Liverpool and almost down to the Rookery Island and back. And he finally got it to the side of the boat, and it wore through the leader at the last second.
So here you've got one.
Yeah.
He gets this beautiful fighting fish,
yeah,
and you get one with post-traumatic stress syndrome and a drinking problem.
The meth had
a tarpon, and
exactly,
you got to find it.
That's what I get.
So, all right. So anyway, 2014 is going to be a cool year. Got a lot of neat stuff coming out.
I do think it is going to be a very cool year.
As in cool, as in interesting, exciting, and not as in temperature. I think we're going to be in for a warm one.
Hopefully, if we are in for a warm one, that we do get the amount of rain that we did last year. That rain that we got last year, while it was excessive, was the only thing that saved our collective butts as fishermen out there.
Oh, yeah. I would not have wanted to have been in your shoes as a charter boat captain trying to do charters here in the summer. It's tough. You pretty much got to move the boat to the intercoastal because it gets so hot up here.
The nice thing is our water temperature never broke 85, 87, I think, was the highest it went.
It averaged below 85.
It had potential there right before the rain started when that first tropical storm came through. That was our switch right there. If it would have stayed warm and wouldn't have rained, it would have been a horrible year. We would have been well up over 90 degrees.
Yeah, and that's kind of it's like being too cold. When it gets too hot, the water temperature gets up there, and the water has no oxygen in it. They can't breathe. It gets too hard for the fish to breathe. It becomes just uncomfortable, and that happens right about 90 degrees.
And we get,
they're going to push to the Gulf.
Everything works against
them. The water gets very acidic.
It gets very acidic. We start getting algae blooms, which start eating up even more oxygen. it hardy holds less oxygen, and it gets hard fishing. But those rains saved our butts, and hopefully if it's going to look like this next year, that we get some good rain.
Well, it's January, and we've got storm after storm coming across here. So who knows what this year's going to be like on rain. But if we don't get, you know, when we don't have years where there's 2, 3, 4 months of cool weather to cool that gulf down, that's the big problem. It's not the harbor. The harbor can change in days. Yeah. Canals can change in hours. Yeah. Harbor will change in days.
Absolutely.
But it literally takes weeks or months for the Gulf of Mexico to change.
Yeah.
And in order to get that down cool enough, we need 3, 4 months of nice, chilly, cool weather.
We do.
And we just didn't get it. So, and if we're lucky, we're going to have a good year, and which means we're going to need a lot of rain. And by the way, the fronts are coming across. Nothing looks like it's in changing. I haven't heard if El Nino or La Nina, if any of those are in play lately.
I haven't looked at it or heard anything either, so I really don't think it is. I think it's going to be a great snook year because of the temperature. I think it is going to be a decent redfish year, judging by the amount of fry that we caught on that Don Ball outing.
Yeah, a lot of baby redfish, a lot of inch and a half, two-inch redfish out there.
Thousands upon thousands. So that's great. As long as we can keep the red tide down in the harbor, we'll be good. And that's going to come with the rain.
All we need is rain, and we stay clean and green.
Absolutely. Those little redfish can handle fresh water. They can't handle red tide. So.
No. So, but, what's unusual about that, you know, going back, because we had a little red tide burst, but the years where we had the massive red tides and all the fish were dying, shrimp don't die from red tide for some reason. And they have all these dead critters to feed on, and the shrimping goes crazy. We have so many shrimp.
Crabs, too.
Yeah, it's just crazy how much shrimp and everything is out there red tide years.
I've heard from a few blue crab fishermen that they're having a horrible year. And if you're having a horrible year with blue crab, you're just putting your traps in the wrong place, because there were days out there on the east side in the summertime where I could fill my live well with blue crab just from standing on my deck with a net, let alone putting out a thousand traps.
Well, I think one of the problems is that they're not always apparent, and their habits are changing, like the tarpon. The tarpon should not be here till May. Yes, boys and girls, tarpon season did not traditionally start until May. You had maybe a little bit of April, but we figured May and June is the best months. July was kind of towards the end. They used to do that world's richest before they all went crazy. Over towards the middle of July, that was the end of season, kind of extending it out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was too cold usually, January, February, March, and April. Around April, we'd see that little shift, and maybe the last week or two of April, but never in March. And we had tarpon here in March last year. And we've got tarpon here in January.
We've got tarpon now.
And when they come up, they don't know if they're supposed to, they know the water temp says go to Charlotte Harbor. We're supposed to be in Charlotte Harbor. It's this warm. We need to go there. But they're not ready to spawn. Yeah. Their eggs aren't mature. The whole you know, reproductive process, it's not mature.
Right.
It really, they're not set up to really do spawning until almost, you know, into May and June.
They're here for one reason at this point. Food.
Well, food. It's not even food. The water temperature will tell them to come.
Yeah,
but
there's still food. There's lots of stuff for them to eat here. So many blue crabs, and we're seeing it across the board.
Oh, no, I'm not saying there's not food here, but what I'm saying is the small pass crab hatch, those little macro crab, the pass crabs, that big hatch of crabs that goes out, that's what started the tarpon congregating here, started them spawning here, was because they need a lot of food to get ready to spawn. That's energetic. I mean, you know, let's face it, that's why you go for dinner and a movie and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, you want to build up a little energy there.
Sure.
And so they come here for that big pass crab migration, but that doesn't happen until later.
Right.
And I think the crab migration isn't as intense because the crabs really don't know when to leave.
Yeah. It will play on a lot of different breeding seasons. We've got cobia back up in the harbor.
Oh, beautiful school of cobia from what I'm hearing. There's some amazing fish.
To me, it doesn't surprise me because I understand the cobia. It surprises a lot of people because they're usually not here at this time. But
you follow cobia, the elephant, and you nomenclature.
Sometimes people assign these patterns to fish just because that's what they're used to seeing. You know, it doesn't bother cobia. We've had tagged cobia circumnavigate the globe. So they can handle different water temperatures, different water salinities, qualities. That doesn't matter to them. They're a very, very hardy fish. It's no surprise.
And one of the most prolific fish in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually surprised.
And why are they up in the harbor? Temperature and
kelp.
Food.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
You know, it's going to help us, especially with the shrimp and the crustaceans. That's number don't three.
Don't let
trying
me
to
light my electric smoke, okay?
But that is...
I got to get the lighters out of here.
It's helping across the board. I mean, look at the big redfish I've been catching upriver.
I think they're eating, like you said, eating the little redfish.
They're eating little redfish. The legal redfish that we took were just jam-packed with crabs. So there's plenty of crabs up there now for them to eat. Plenty of small fish up there for them to eat. Lots of crabs. We were grabbing crabs off the Sanssouci trestle.
Yeah, just going up and picking them off?
Yeah, just picking them off the pilings. So there's plenty of food for these fish to eat. And where are our big crab eaters? Tarpon, cobia, redfish.
So anyway, it's going to be a good year. I'm looking forward to these first few months. I'm not really sure how July or August are going to play out. But I think up until June, you've got the makings of a phenomenal fishing season for 2014. Yeah. Just the way the weather's playing out, all these fronts coming across, it's going to make it tough to fish. But anytime you've got a span of 5 days between it, front hits, you got a little mediocre and then better. Yep. But those fourth and fifth days are just going to be phenomenal. Time it right, wow. Yeah,
I wait until we start catching Spanish mackerel at the 41 bridge.
Okay.
Okay, that is our point of no return. If we have Spanish mackerel at the 41 bridge, our weather pattern from there on will decide the rest of the year. If it starts raining, we'll be okay. If it doesn't rain, we're screwed.
Okay. Well, you've heard it from the follow the elephant, and we're going to see which way the elephant runs this year, and a lot of it's going to rely on rain.
Yeah, it's all going to rely on rain.
Because we never got cold, so with no cold, that means everything can heat up. Lots of algae, lots of bacteria, lots of problems for everything. And our buffer this year is going to be, hopefully, an ungodly amount of rain.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah, so anyway, if you have questions or stuff you'd like to hear about on radio fishing, you can email me or Kale or any of the guys at frank@fishandfranks.com. And on the thing... the subject, just put radio fishing.
Yeah.
And we will get your questions answered. We'll discuss stuff. You can ask questions of anybody you hear on here. Most everybody's a regular and friends. So, anyway, just go frank@fishandfranks.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you'd like to think about.
Be more than happy to answer your questions.
The only thing I don't think you can get is me to shut up, but I'm working on it. Other than that.
Which will come in handy if you have a lot of questions.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think we're going to call an end to this one. And, Kale, Happy New Year. New Year again.
Happy New Year, Frank.
And we will see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Got a lot more stuff coming up. We got a meeting at Luigi's on the 14th. We got a meeting on the 14th, and we're going to be working with Dave to make sure we've got all the things. As usual, I kind of messed it up a little bit. We're going to see today about how to fix it. We'll talk to you later, guys.